You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Onyx Maps. Onyx Maps is literally the one-stop shop for all outdoorsmen. Whether you whitetail hunt, whether you're backcountry or a coon hunter or whatever, Onyx Maps has functionality for you. And the best part is you don't even have to have mobile data service. Go to onyxmaps.com and check out all the functionality and how it can benefit you. Enter the discount code NATION20, NATION20, to save 20% off your initial purchase.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and I'm the host of the Bear Hunting Magazine podcast. I'll also be your host into the world of hunting the icon of North American wilderness, the bear. We'll talk about tactics, gear, conservation, but we'll also bring you into some of the wildest country on the planet chasing bear. You often hear us talking about Northwoods Bear products, and specifically their Gold Rush, which is a fryer grease additive. We're doing a giveaway this week. We're going to send a 8-ounce bottle of Gold Rush to one of you. Here's what you got to do. Go to iTunes and rate our podcast and leave a comment. Take a screenshot of your comment and then send it to us either through Instagram private message, Facebook private message, or email us at info@bear-hunting.com. We'll send out a bottle of Gold Rush to you just by leaving a comment on the podcast and rating us. This is a really fun podcast with some guys that I've known now for about a year. I started watching The Untamed on YouTube when they were just getting started. And I saw that these guys had a lot of potential, mainly just because of how authentic they were. And I could tell that they were good hunters. And I could tell that they were committed to the platform and what they were doing. I reached out to these guys a while back just to encourage them and just to say what I thought they were doing was cool. On this podcast, I sit down with Josh and Kirk from the Untamed YouTube channel, and we talk about building the YouTube platform, YouTube analytics. We talk about some hunting. We talk about hound hunting. We talk about their very unique style of deer hunting. And it's just overall a super fun podcast. I even do a couple of impressions of Josh. So you're going to want to check this out. Say it again.
Ilderton.
I've been
going back and forth on it.
Well, no, I think I'm dyslexic. I was putting the D before the L and calling you.
Idleton.
Idlerton.
Idlerton?
Yeah. That sounds pretty good, though.
Smooth, yeah.
I like that better, but.
Everybody says Ilderton. Nobody says Ilderton.
We're in Indianapolis. I was actually confused about what town I was in this morning. We drove from Arkansas last night, and I guess I wasn't confused about the town I was in, but I said, Colby, we were here last year, and he was like, no, we weren't. We were in Louisville, and I said, no, we weren't. ATA was in Indianapolis. So I guess I was confused about what town I was in last year at this time. But then he said,
I thought you were flying. I told Kirk last night, I said, he's flying up. I said, that's a long drive from Arkansas.
It was a long drive. It was 9 hours in the rain. But, hey, we're here with two of our buddies from a YouTube channel. I'll just put it on the table. Josh, we're going to cut this out. Pronounce your last name. I've been calling you Josh Idlerton for like 2 years.
Josh Ilderton.
Josh Ilderton.
Pretty
Kirk
close.
Price.
Easy enough.
And Zach over here. And I got Colby Moorhead, the Bear Tech. But, man, we're going to have a good conversation about we're going to talk about some YouTube stuff. We usually don't go into like the back room of outdoor media to like kind of talk about, you know, kind of how some of this stuff works. But I want to talk to you guys about your YouTube channel because you guys have built a really cool YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got 40, something thousand subscribers on YouTube and producing a lot of content. But I'm more interested in your hunting. I want to talk about your whitetail hunting and some of your bear hunting with hounds and turkey hunting. You got a turkey video that's got 3.3 million views, don't you?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yep.
Because all we did was a compilation video.
Yeah.
It's got 3.5 million views. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Well, Josh, okay, before we hear Josh's voice too much, yesterday in the car, I did a Josh impression that was uncanny. Uncanny.
I'd like to hear it right now.
Well,
I tell you,
I lost it.
It was so good, I got excited more to come see Josh than to come to ATA.
So yesterday, I told Colby that Josh called me, and I said, yeah, Josh called me. And he said, Clay, hey, this is Josh. And I nailed it.
100%.
And then I lost it. So it was like better. It like
you talking about the voicemail I left you?
No, just talking to you yesterday. I told Colby, I said, Josh called me, and I just was trying to say what you said. And you were like, Clay, this is Josh.
That's pretty good.
How you doing? How you doing? Man, we're going to have a great time at ATA. Yeah. Me and Kirk's coming up. Yeah.
He had me rolling. That's spot on.
It was good.
That's good.
It was good.
I am impressed.
That actually.
Baby. Yeah. Baby.
Oh, God.
What do you think, Zach? Is that pretty good? Pretty good. Oh, yeah, I had a whole conversation with Colby.
It was amazing.
You have a lot of conversations in a 9.5 hour drive.
Yeah.
I think me and Kirk saved the world on our 25-hour drive to New Mexico.
Oh, I bet you did.
Oh, twice.
I bet you did. Yeah. Well, hey, Josh, introduce yourself. Give us just a little, just where you're from, your family, just a little bit of history just so we can kind of know who you are.
Josh Ilderton, so Clay can pronounce my name right. Obviously, he's thought I was somebody else the last couple of years. Born and raised in West Virginia, military guy, veteran of the Marine Corps, and got a wife and a son. And I absolutely have a diehard passion for anything outdoors. I could care less what it is. I just like being outside.
Yeah. So you were in the military when you graduated from high school?
Yeah.
Right. How long were you in the military?
5.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Originally was in for 4, and then I signed an extension to go back overseas.
Yeah.
For 18 months, and then got out. And I'm a blue-collar guy. I've got a construction company and a welding fabrication shop. And I believe in, you know, everything you get, you go after. You get paid for hard work. I mean,
yeah.
I believe in it. If you get up early and every day and you get after it, then you get rewarded for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Untamed, you know, Kirk brought this idea, you know, a couple years ago about the Untamed, and I bought into it.
And did you guys know each other?
We were acquaintances.
Yeah, we kind of. My buddy Trace.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, if you've watched our videos, you've seen Trace in the videos.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, do you want to go bear hunting? And that's how I met Josh that way.
Yeah. But Kirk, go ahead and introduce yourself so we can
get going. Yeah, I didn't want to get too far into it because that was kind of part of the story, I guess.
Yeah.
My name's Kirk Price. I'm also from West Virginia. I've been doing this video thing for quite some time now. It started as a hobby when I was probably in middle school. I was just using my parents' cameras, using cell phones, whatever I couldn't get my hands on. And I started, you know, building up quite a bit of footage, and I got a job working for Buck Commander while I was in college.
Okay.
And
okay.
So it was kind of like a internship deal. I wasn't looking to do it full time,
mm-hmm.
But it was more of like a, you know, a life experience I couldn't turn down.
Yeah.
And so I went out there and worked for Buck Commander. I lived in Arkansas. And actually, I don't know.
Really?
I lived in Arkansas actually, it's called, do you know where Harding University is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I lived like right there in Searcy, I believe it's.
Yeah, Searcy.
Searcy, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And so I got, that's how now, I got
my start.
Is that
where Buck Commander's based out of?
Well,
Searcy?
The guys that I was filming, and like I was headquartered right there, but I would drive down to Louisiana. They're in Louisiana. So right. It was, you know, I was jumping back and forth across the line. But yeah, so I got my start at Buck Commander, and really they taught me, you know, I went from just running a camera in auto to really running a camera, you know, really learning cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
And then after that was over, I went back to school and, you know, finished school up. And while I was in college, that's when Trace was like, hey, you know, you want to go bear hunting? And I was like, sure, you know, I'd never coon hunted, rabbit hunted, nothing to do with hounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew, you know, nothing about it at all.
At Bear Hunting Magazine, we partner with some of the best bear outfitters in the world. And I've got a quick question for you. What big game animal can you hunt in May and June? The answer is simple. It's black bear, spring black bear hunt. Our partners at Eastern Sky Guiding Service in Saskatchewan have available dates the last 2 weeks of May and the first week of June 2020. These guys have a great camp. They've taken multiple 20-inch bears over the last couple of years. Rich and Marla Giras, they are the outfitters. They're good people. They're going to work hard to give you a bear hunt, and they're people that you can trust. I think sometimes when you're going on an outfitted hunt, that is the limiting factor is, you know, is this someone that I can trust with a week of my time and an important part of my hunting year? So check out easternskyguiding.com, or you can reach Rich and Marla at this phone number, 306-743-5299.
So he's like, hey, we're going to ride with this crazy guy. He's like, he's my buddy. He's like, but like, if he does something great.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I think he's in the room with us.
Spoiler alert.
He's like, you want to go? So I was like, yeah, let's go. I took my camera, and I was just taking still photos. You know, these people mm-hmm. were probably never had cameras around them, and I'm pointing it out. I'm just going to town taking photos and stuff, and I had a blast. And that day was, I mean, I believe we treated a bear and killed it, and we had a really good time. But I was like, man, I was like, that Josh cat, I was like, you know, he's pretty cool. So we went about our ways, and then we were wanting to start, you know, I was wanting to do something. You know, I didn't, you know, want to get stagnant. And, I, you know, Trace and I started talking, and we went to Josh, and I was like, hey, you know, I started thinking, and, you know, I realized West Virginia has a training season for bears that's all year long. I mean, you can run a bear anytime in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I was like, huh. And then this YouTube thing started, you know, I could tell that it was going to take off. And media.
When you say YouTube thing, you mean you didn't have a channel yet?
No.
You just meant YouTube.
In general.
Just the platform.
The platform. I could tell something was there, and people were probably going to start going away from cable because none of my buddies have cable anymore. And like, I feel like my generation's kind of changing that. Like, we're going to like Fire Sticks and Roku or whatever it's called, stuff like that. So we went to Josh.
Wait a minute, you said my generation as if like Josh and I are old. Is that what you meant?
I was kind of implying that, but I wasn't going to directly say it.
He opens doors for me and says,
carries your stuff
before you, sir. Go ahead. We've been mistaken for father and son how many times?
A lot.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. You're being serious.
Oh, yeah.
Dead
yeah.
serious.
Go into
it
a gas,
kills me.
Like, we'll go into,
kills me.
We'll go into a gas station. We'll go into a gas station, get our biscuits before we go bear hunting. You
and
know,
they
it's like a
look
tradition.
To Josh to pay.
Well, they'll be like, oh, here's your dad's biscuit. They already knew what he wanted. It's,
well, if you had a beard, you'd look a little bit older.
Listen,
that's what I was thinking.
I want a beard so bad, but it's just not going to happen. I don't know if you've seen me trying to grow one, but it's pretty
– doesn't work.
Pretty patchy.
Okay.
So, anyways, we went – we figured out the YouTube platform was a good way to go for us. And I knew – I mean, when I went bear hunting, I literally was like, I don't know if I've even seen a bear hunting video, like a hound hunting video.
Right.
So then I got on YouTube and I was like, bear hunting with hounds, just some generic search, you know. And of course, I come across your videos, and I was like, huh. I was like, this guy, you know, this is the only guy I've seen doing any type of hound stuff. And it's not like you were only doing hounds or something. You did a wide variety of bears, but you had some hound hunting videos on there.
Yeah.
I was like, huh. And the ones that you had on there had done really well, like views wise. So I was like, man, I was like, we need for this YouTube, like, we want to put out a ton of content. And I was like, bear hunting is a ton of content. Like, it's interesting.
Just because you can do it so much.
Yeah, it's like not I said, limited. The training season is all year long.
20 good days in the fall, like a whitetail rut.
Right. And for us, you know, it's not about killing the bear. It's about our dogs and the hounds. And so when we're able to video, you know, people see our dogs progress on, you know, on video or see new dogs or they ask us about them. It's just unlimited content.
Yeah.
And so, that's kind of how the Untamed got started. But
yeah. So the when did you actually start the YouTube channel?
Our first video was in
April 2018.
April 2018.
Okay, so just almost, it's 2020, almost 2 years.
Yeah.
So let me describe what kind of the different styles of YouTube channels.
Okay.
To me, you guys are like a classic YouTube channel.
Okay.
Like the platform is really seems to be designed for people that are producing a ton of content. Would you agree, Colby?
Yeah.
I didn't have Colby introduce himself. Say hi, Colby.
Hi.
Bear Tech. The people think I'm Colby's father. No, they don't.
He's kind of patchy too.
Yeah, yeah. I got to keep it trim, like so it looks like it's intentional.
So, the platform really seems to be geared towards people that are producing a ton of content,
right?
Like putting out weekly stuff, you know. In you know the hunting public that they didn't pioneer that at all, but they made it real successful in the hunting space.
Right. Oh yeah.
I don't think that they pioneered it, but I'm gonna tell you right now that they opened a lot of doors up for because like Hushin had been on YouTube for I think 11 years.
Yeah.
11 or 12 years. So I think that they're like original outdoor channel.
But yeah.
Now what? THP, and I honestly, we talk about it all the time, but we get in a bind on our channel because of content, because Kirk is the editor, producer, the hunter, the houndsman, dog handler.
Yeah.
You know, everything. You're going to be wearing all those hats.
Yeah.
But YouTube rewards you. We can see a difference in YouTube when Kirk, in the off season, when Kirk's able to pound out the videos and we're putting two videos out a week and we're consistent.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, we start going to the top of the food ladder.
Yeah.
And our subscribers, our views, everything goes up. Mm-hmm. But if we miss a week.
So there's analytics that are working behind the scenes. Like I think most people that would watch YouTube that aren't creators, YouTube creators, they might just think, well, if you put a good video up, it's going to get 1 million views. If you put a bad video up, it's going to get 1,000 views.
Right.
It's not true.
No.
There's algorithms and mechanisms at play that are bigger than what YouTube even lets people know, but they do reward people for consistent content. They reward people for the type of content.
Yeah.
I mean, like hunting stuff is already at a back. It's like a step back from their premium content.
For sure.
They penalize us.
Right. Oh, there's no doubt.
Because it's like sensational content. Like if we were creating, I can't remember the exact terminology, but I mean, if we were creating like, you know, like ballet videos, they would much more freely distribute our stuff.
Right. We talked about it yesterday on the way out here, and it's funny to bring up, but we talked about it. If Kirk would, we talked about Moon and Truckers.
What? Oh, okay,
Moon,
okay.
We talked about Moon and Truckers on the road out here.
Yeah,
I didn't expect that.
And guarantee if we Moon Truckers and videoed it and put it up, it would blow up. We'd get millions of views and people would laugh. And
right.
But for us, it's not the right thing to do, so we decided against it. You know?
Yeah, it's the right choice.
And then with outdoor videos, you kind of take – they would rather have that type of content than an outdoor setting content.
Yeah.
Like, you know, more geared towards hunting.
Right.
Yeah. There's a classification, and I really studied into it when I first got our YouTube channel going. There's a classification that we are inside of there. I mean, they have ways to categorize creators, and we're automatically, and I can't remember the exact details of it, but basically our stuff is already at a slight disadvantage from more stuff that they would consider like benign content.
Right.
But I wanted to say, so you guys are producing kind of like live action stuff. Like the whole thing is that you're producing content that like is quickly coming out to
right.
people.
Right. It's not, so typically when you watch a show on the Outdoor Channel, that stuff is filmed a year out, like right. from like 2018, but it's 2019, but you're watching 2018 footage.
Yeah.
So they got, that's why you got, you know, there's a lot more done to it and stuff. But the way we do it is I might film it tomorrow and put it up today.
Yeah.
And that's why
YouTube is popular.
Right.
I mean, that's why it works.
Right. And you know, I've seen TV shows, you know, hunting shows that they'll take their episodes from the show and then directly upload that same edited version they put on the show and put it on YouTube. It'll get like, and these are like major, like big money production TV shows
right.
on the Outdoor Channel. They'll put it on YouTube and they'll get like 200 or 300 views. And that's because the content and what people want to watch from YouTube versus TV is completely different. And
right.
some people, you know, they can't understand that.
Right.
It's tough to wrap your mind around.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's the authenticity factor that comes in when you're looking at something that has a timestamp that was from last week. You
yeah.
know?
Right.
I mean, when you watch it and you're like, man, they filmed this last week.
Yeah.
You know, it feels relevant. It feels like real time.
Yeah.
Now, I said partly to that all to say what we're doing now is not very good for YouTube, even though it's working for us. We're getting to the point where we're trying to make 8 to 10 kind of cinematic, polished, like the best, you know, production that we can do.
Right.
And produce 8 to 10, maybe 12 videos a year.
Yeah.
That's kind of our platform. And it actually doesn't work very good for YouTube. We would do better on like Netflix or,
right,
or
right.
something yes. like as an episode show.
Yeah, right.
And that's just the decision we made. You know, we don't have a...
Which, I mean, Netflix could be a route to the future, you know?
Yeah. Well, boy, if anybody could
but
ever
But you're
all
playing
that.
It and failing either.
No. I mean, it is working.
Your channel is...
It's just a little different strategy.
Right.
When you know, when we met last year, you were at 26,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
When we talked last
year,
you're
right.
Almost 50,000 now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
it's working.
I mean, obviously, something's working there. You're not doing the consistency. You're not hitting the consistency
right.
part of that algorithm.
Yep.
To drive you up.
Right.
But when you do put a video out, I'm sure that once people start watching it, then YouTube goes, hey, they're watching.
Yeah.
Bear Hunting Magazine videos, so they start clicking it.
Yeah.
Start putting your thumbnail up above everybody else's for a little while. And then when it peters off, I'm sure that they start driving it back
Man,
down.
It's so interesting to me from a marketing perspective, all that stuff. But we had a video, well, that bear video, the Roy Clark,
mm-hmm.
you know, Appalachian Laurel Mountain bear video. This last week, it got like 65,000 views.
Yeah.
It was dead for a year.
Right.
I mean, just gaining like
100
views a month.
I can't tell you why that happens either. It'll randomly.
Has that happened to y'all too?
It goes. It happens all the time. Now, the only one that stayed consistently growing is the one we have with over 3 million views.
Yeah.
It just keeps going. It's not extremely fast, but it's also not slow. I mean, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason why is what I believe is the thumbnail. I think the thumbnail, when it comes to YouTube videos, and that's what people will put all their work into the video. But when we first got started, we actually talked to someone locally, and he said, if you spend, you know, 3 hours editing the video, you need to spend 2 hours on your thumbnail, which, you know, that's probably overdoing it.
He was trying to make a point.
He was making a point to me, and it stuck with me because I figured that out.
Yeah.
And so I'll think of a, you know, when I'm out there hunting or I'm out there doing whatever, the whole time I'm thinking, what would be a catchy thumbnail?
Yeah.
Because the first thing you got to get someone to do is click on the video before anything. It doesn't matter how good the video is if they don't click on it.
Yeah, yeah. Our best videos have good thumbnails.
Yeah.
And that usually is a big part of it. But so you're working full time.
Yep.
For Untamed
full time.
And so the Untamed guys, you guys turkey hunt, you're deer hunting, you're bear hunting. Those are the main things you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, turkey, bear, deer.
And then we will travel to like we just got back from mountain lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now the New Mexico stuff y'all just put out.
That was this year.
When was that? December?
Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. Man, that was awesome. Yeah.
Well, the one video was from last year when
the very first one. So I saved. I did something we normally won't do.
Okay.
I saved a video from 2008. Well, it was 2019 in January.
Oh, from last year,
right.
This time.
And I saved it because I knew we were going to go back out there. So I was going to let that video kick things off for the new set of videos.
Okay.
Hoping it was just kind of a shot in the dark, hoping that this year panned out, which I was guessing it was going to.
Yeah.
Because we just went in with a different strategy.
Yeah.
And it panned out. So
nice. Yeah. Well, for anybody that's not seen your whitetail stuff, man, you are killing some incredible deer there in West Virginia.
Is it West Virginia? I thought we were hunting up.
I mean, in Kentucky.
Yeah, we don't want to tell anybody.
Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah. No, we had a good year.
I was just surprised at the quality of bucks.
Yeah.
That y'all pretty consistently see.
Right.
I think that surprised a lot of people.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Because you don't, when you think of West Virginia, you don't think of big whitetail.
Well, you don't think of whitetail hunting, no.
No.
Yeah. I mean,
no. Nobody does.
Yeah.
Especially in the industry, nobody
And then
does.
To spot and stalk them like you guys are doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Describe a hunt in those places you are hunting, Josh.
Miserable.
Miserable?
Yeah. No, not miserable. I mean, the terrain.
Straight up and straight down.
And it's fast. I mean, you know, in the Midwest, you got these big valleys and canyons, and
yeah,
it'll take you all day to walk from one side to the other. And in southern West Virginia, where we hunt, I mean, you'll be the top of a ridge in the creek, and on the other side of the ridge, an hour and a half. You know, it's straight up, straight down, back down.
Yeah.
And then we hunt an old coal mine and reclamation.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like.
So it's open.
Well,
when
they get done with the reclamation part of it, I mean, it kind of reminds you of the Midwest, of kind of the rolling hills and
yeah,
the kind of prairie until it grows up. Now, when it grows up, it's just a big forest gall.
So you're
nasty thick.
Hunting time, the way you are hunting, and that, I guess, is sort of limited. Will that stuff grow back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of strange, but, like, just because this area is awesome right now, we're able to, and not that it gets bad, but your hunting style has to change because,
right.
Like,
it's just like our clear cuts. I mean, y'all probably have clear cuts, too.
Yeah.
I mean, where they're cutting and they plant pines. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But in Arkansas, they do that. And then, you know, you'll have 5-6 years before the pine trees grow up so tall that it's just a thicket.
Right.
You know, but before you might be able to see 300 yards.
Right.
You know?
And two, you know, when they say they freshly, you know, reclaim an area or something, well, they'll use like hydro seed and, you know, there'll be clover and stuff in there.
Okay.
So, you know, it's almost like a mountain food plot that we don't have the luxury of ever hunting other than when something like that happens.
Yeah. Are they still mining there and doing stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean,
there'll be new places you can.
Well, the surface mining is going away.
They're peeling the tops off these mountains. Is that right?
Basically.
Yeah. And then once they extract the coal, they put it back.
But just not to that elevation.
And so if you hadn't seen their videos, these guys are glassing on tops of these big ridges and seeing across big valleys and spotting deer and then moving around and stalking them.
And that's what, you know, on our videos, it is so hard to show the viewers. Kirk does a great job in a 15-minute span to show the viewers what a day's like.
Yeah.
But we might glass for 3 hours.
And not see anything.
Yeah, and you just get headaches and might not see anything. It's just like the video of him, we were talking about it last night, of him spotting and stalking that that buck he shot in the early season. I mean, they laid down there, him and Lane, they laid down there for 3 hours in the rain, 60 yards from this deer.
Yeah.
And stayed right there until the deer stood up.
Yeah.
But you can't put that 3 hours in there. Nobody's going to watch it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to.
Yeah, to show really how difficult it is.
Yeah, and the time and the misery and, you know.
Yeah.
Not misery because you're out there loving what you do.
Right, right.
But I'm saying that sometimes it's really tough. But, I mean, we hunt on the – I think introduced Kirk to hunting on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't – I grew up hunting like what typically most people do. Like, I hunted a piece of private property.
Yeah.
It was just like basically like a family farm.
Yeah.
We had, you know, stands here on that point, you know, that cut through, whatever, you know, the typical spots like that.
Yeah.
And my style of hunting was what I would think like most people do, you know, not what we're doing now. What we're doing now is like the Midwest, like it's like mule deer hunting or something.
Yeah. That's
in
what
West
it's
Virginia.
Like. And that's what is so crazy about it.
Right. It's I mean, it's extremely fun.
Yeah, is there a lot of that kind of country over there?
A decent amount, yeah. I mean, it's not all over the place. You got to be in the right areas, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, well, I could go sit in a stand and hope something comes through this funnel. Or I can go out there and chase them down in ghillie suits and try to make it happen, you know.
Yeah. So. Were you hunting like that your whole life?
Yeah, I've hunted on the ground. I think I've killed two of my deer out of a tree stand.
Really? So most of your hunting was off the ground?
Yeah.
Who taught you to do that? Did you just start?
No. When I got out of the service, I became buddies with a guy named Keith Alfrey, and we started hog hunting together, wild boar, and we started hunting them on the ground. And I was watching him hunt on the ground. Then
just like spot and stalk hunting them?
Yeah.
Not with dogs?
No.
Yeah.
You can't hunt hogs with dogs there in West Virginia, but just hunting on the ground and jumping them up and then stalking them after you jump them.
Really?
And but then we started deer hunting, and I started deer hunting with him. And he would walk, grunt, he'd blind, snort, wheeze, everything. And I was like, and then we started killing deer. Heck, we doubled up one day, and I was like hooked. We killed two Pokemon young deer on the ground in one day. And I was like, man, this is the best thing ever. And you see so much. That's the greatest thing. You know, I'm not real keen on, I mean, I do it because I think that there are certain times that you need to hang in the tree all day long.
Yeah.
Like if we're, I mean, like in Ohio or something.
Right.
We don't have the same terrain that we do in West Virginia.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, there's times that hunt on the ground, but you see so much and you see so many deer. Opportunities. It's just like Kirk said, you can sit in this stand in this saddle or wherever on this ridge on this point and wait for a deer to come, or you can go out there and you can see deer and try to make it happen. Now your chances of getting a shot in that saddle in that tree stand are higher if a deer comes through.
Higher percentage chance of
getting
success.
A shot. Yes. Absolutely.
You may have to sit there for 3 days before he comes through there.
So on the ground, I don't think that the success rate of getting a shot is lower.
Yeah.
But you will learn a lot about the game.
Yeah.
The terrain.
It's more fun.
And
it's
an absolute.
And it works
hoot.
For, like we said, it ties into content.
Yeah.
Because now we're getting, we spooked a buck, but we got a YouTube video out of it, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and we don't care if we spook a buck.
Yeah.
And we're not like most, I mean, I get the thrill of, I'll hang trail cameras and stuff, but I'll take a good buck, you know, I'll shoot it. I mean, it doesn't have to be a monster. It doesn't have to be that deer that I'm hunting. You know, we're in the business, Josh always says we're opportunists. You know, we don't pass up good bucks. We care less, about killing big giants or something.
Yeah.
You know? But we will. I mean, you've seen
everybody,
some of the deer
everybody wants to kill a Boone Crockett.
Just to give an idea of how good some of these deer are, how big was that deer that Trace killed this year?
Oh, that was, I believe it ended up.
It grossed almost 190.
Yeah, almost 190.
No, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
In West Virginia?
In West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's his second Boone crop.
And that
those pictures, I thought, I mean, just because of where it was from, I thought there's no way that deer is as big as it looks. I mean, nothing against them. And I didn't. Right. I knew it wasn't a trick photo. Well, I was just like, that's a huge deer.
That deer in that area, that there was one killed a few years ago. That scored 203, and we believe that might that deer has some relation to it, whether it's his father
now, that
or what.
He didn't video that.
He did not, no.
Yeah, he was just hunting.
He was just
Trace has kind of took a step back because of his work. He's a pipeliner.
Yeah.
So, and he's 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's tough.
So he took kind of a step back from the video.
You said that's his second Boone Crockett deer in West Virginia?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and Zach's killed one or two. He's killed two Boone and Crocketts.
Is that right?
In West Virginia. Another buddy of ours has killed two Boone and Crocketts. His brother killed one Boone and Crockett.
He killed a Boone and Crockett. I mean, his brother killed one this year.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So I mean,
it is a great whitetail. And it, for the people listening, we hunt in a bow-only county.
Is that right? Is that because there's that many people there?
Why do they do that?
There's
four counties in West Virginia that are bow only. Mm. There's no muzzle loader, no firearms whatsoever.
Mm.
They closed it in 1979 because of the deer population.
There were no deer?
No.
Oh, so it wasn't a safety concern?
Well, I think part of it was safety. There had been a couple of shooting accidents. There was a safety concern.
Right, and low deer population.
And then low deer population.
They just cut it off.
They just said,
like,
really?
There was no hunting at all.
No, yeah. I mean,
no bow hunting, anything.
Huh.
And then they...
And what they did was, because of how low the deer population was, we talk about hogs. They brought in wild hogs.
Eurasians.
Yeah.
Wild boars,
yeah.
What they are.
And that's what people get. They're like, you think, like, why wouldn't they let... You know, everywhere else in the country you go, they're like... wipe the hogs out, you know, kill them all, you know, trap them. That, you know, you got that attitude towards them. But our hogs are, like, they're supposed to be 100% wild. So they don't spread like those feral hogs do.
Mm.
And so, you know, I don't know how long the hogs have been there, but they're still in the same area. They put them in years and years ago. And they brought those hogs in because there was nothing else for people to hunt.
Really?
Yep.
Y'all just do things a little different in West Virginia, don't you?
Yep. Yeah, like how many states bring hogs and release them?
Oh, man. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that those bow-only counties, the deer have time.
Yes.
And that's the number one.
Well, that explains a lot to me. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
and if you let a deer get old.
It's not only – so the rest of the part of the state is 3 bucks. You can kill 3 bucks.
Okay.
Bow-only is 1 buck. So you've got, you know, some – really, I mean, people will be like, oh, they've brought deer in from – I've heard all kinds. They brought deer in from Wisconsin. They brought deer in for down there. But that's not the case. The deer are – they just have more time to – you know, typically
– Yeah, they're just
you're not,
getting mature.
And it's not easy hunting.
That's right. So
I mean,
it's tough hunting.
You're taking –
it's all the right equation.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly right. So you're taking a place that the deer, one, have time to grow. And number two, it's hard as heck to hunt down there – I mean, it is.
Access-wise, it's tough.
Yeah.
Like, if just someone comes down there and tries to hunt,
it's a
good
joke.
Luck.
Yeah, I mean.
If you don't know the right, you know, the right things,
exactly
the right,
right
people, the right, you'll learn quickly.
If you and Kobe would come down there to bow hunt, obviously you all would have an in with us. But
it would,
it's not a non-resident
destination.
Right.
No, it is not a non-resident.
Yeah. You might run into Crazy Billy up the holler there.
Yeah.
He might come out with a shotgun just because, you know.
Yeah.
Noted avoid Billy.
And we have very little. Yeah.
I say the same thing about Arkansas to keep people out.
There you
don't worry.
We have, wink, wink. We have very little public land.
You don't have public land?
We have very little.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, a lot of West Virginia has a lot of public
land.
Am I right?
And, like, say, the county I'm from, Boone County, I don't think there's actually any public land in that entire county.
Now, see, that's surprising to me.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'll be darned.
And I think that we, you know, Boone County actually might be the only county in the entire state.
That's cool, man. That's all news to me. I didn't realize that.
So that's why the quality of deer is where it's at.
Yeah.
in those southern four counties. They call them the four, southern four, okay. The bow hunting only counties.
Ah, that's cool, man. That's cool.
So that's what gives them time. And everything, all game really flourishes down there.
Do you have real good turkey hunting?
Oh, yeah, man.
How many – this is how I know – this is my gauge. I mean, maybe it's everybody's gauge, but I know what I would tell you if I was talking about Arkansas. Perfect morning in the spring, standing on a ridge, barred owl hoot. How many gobblers are you going to hear gobble?
You might not hear none in West Virginia.
No.
It just depends on that morning.
I mean
– Right.
I mean, would there be some places where you'd hear 10 different birds?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Really?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I'm talking
greatest
like
– thing in the world.
Okay.
Now, yeah,
would you hear 20?
No, I don't think.
I have a piece of property that is loaded with turkeys. I mean, like
Clay, he's never took me down there.
Oh yeah.
This is a secret piece of property.
Okay. Okay. We know what county it's in. He told us where it's from. Yeah.
Wrong county.
But I lie to people too about Arkansas. Don't worry. I know you're lying.
But it is. I mean, it's actually kind of different terrain, and it's part of the reason why it's like rolling, more rolling style hills and stuff, which is I prefer hunting that turkey hunt than that straight up and down.
Oh, it'd be tough.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it really is. I mean, I tagged out the first 2 days of the season.
How many turkeys can you kill?
Two.
Just two.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you killed one out there. He missed one too.
Yeah. So. Oh, man.
He said
gotta add that in.
That's his first turkey he ever missed, though. I'll give you that.
you could hear 10, 12 birds.
Oh, for sure.
In the mornings.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of birds in West Virginia.
Yeah. Josh, what's your favorite thing to hunt? Well, let me back up from that question. I think you guys kind of represent kind of the true southern woodsman, in that I find a lot of western guys, maybe, and that's the wrong way to say it. My dad wanted me to be he called it a PhD. He said, I want you to have a PhD in Arkansas hunting. He wanted me to be a deer hunter, turkey hunter, bear hunter, you know, like do all these things well. Know how to, you know, just be a woodsman that could hunt all year round. That's the way I perceive you. It's somebody that's doing a lot of stuff. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean,
are you a good turkey hunter?
I kill turkeys.
Yeah.
Am I the best caller in the world? No. Do I get up every morning? Do I hunt till legal time every day? I absolutely do. Does that present opportunities? It does. That goes back to the hard work.
Yeah.
I believe in it. I mean, am I the best turkey caller? No. But do I kill turkeys every year? I absolutely will.
Yeah.
I love smashing heads.
You get a little bit excited when you kill them, don't you?
Yeah.
I absolutely. Back to the 3 million views, that's probably part of the reason why the Alice video does good, because I don't think I've ever seen someone freak out like you did on a few of them.
Yeah.
I get
baby.
Yeah, baby. I do. You know, and then you know, I get excited. I mean, I love turkey hunting. I mean, I love it all.
Yeah.
If I could do it 12 months out of the year, I would. I mean, which we hunt probably 9 or 10 months out of the year.
We hunt a lot.
Because we predator hunt. I mean, as soon as we get back from here, you know, we're gonna start predator hunting, and we'll do that for a couple months, and then back into turkey hunting, and then training season after turkey season.
Where I was leading with that question was, what's your favorite? What's your favorite thing? You got to have one that you would,
actually,
if you could just pick one. You just get one time a year.
I couldn't do it, really. I could care less if I'm even hunting anything. I just like being outside.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right. I mean,
what time?
In 5 months, it's gonna be turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not. I like being out there. I mean, I love turkey hunting. I love deer hunting. I love my hounds.
Yeah,
There's nothing better in those tight hollows in southern West Virginia. I'm telling you right now, Clay. There's not a better sound than a pack of 25 head of hounds coming through it, and you hear them from way off, and it's just like a, ooh, it's all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get closer and closer, then you start saying, hey, that's Gage, that's Bliss, that's,
yeah,
you know, you start hearing all the separate barks, and it's, I'm telling you, man, and then in those tight, I mean, it's just a great sound, and I love hearing that. And
yeah,
and then when I got into hound hunting, I started doing it, you know, 20 years ago, but when I started getting my own dogs and my son, that's the big thing with me too on hound hunting, is it, it's such an easy way to get your kids outside.
Right.
My son's been, he went to his first tree, he was almost 3 years old, he was still in diapers. I mean, I had a diaper in my back pocket and wet wipes, you know, when we went to the tree.
Yeah.
And to this day, he's never killed a bear.
Mm.
And I don't know how many he's seen, but we have so many kids, and it's just such an easy way to introduce kids to the outdoors, because that attention span, there's always something happening when you're hound hunting. And if it is a, if there is a law,
you don't have to be quiet. You don't have to worry about scent.
You don't have to wear camouflage.
What I've told them, because when I was working at Buck Commander, I mean, I was filming Duck Commander too. I was like, this is our duck hunting. Like what they do, you know, you get to sit there and be real still when you got ducks flying in or whatever. But
it's
so relaxed. Yeah, there's other people involved. I was like, that's a good description. This is West Virginia's version of duck hunting.
Yeah.
You know, because
we
really don't waterfowl hunt at all. I mean,
there's
some people do in West Virginia, but it's very, very minimal.
Yeah.
But I can answer your question. My favorite is hound hunting.
For real.
For real. And I
see, that surprises me, because you didn't grow up with hounds.
Right.
Really? Do you like it better than deer hunting?
I absolutely do. Deer hunting, I get stressed out and stuff. When I'm hound hunting, I mean, I'm obsessed with it right now. I mean, I love
that. He got hooked 100% the day that he came hunting with us.
Yeah. With the crazy guy, when he went hunting with the crazy guy.
And I could say, I could probably answer that for you and tell you that's your favorite, because he's doing something every day with the hounds.
Yeah. I mean, the other day we killed a bobcat with our hounds in West Virginia. And then, you know, the next night I was coon hunting, you know, with them same dogs. Like, we call our dogs meat dogs.
Meat dogs.
Right? There's two things we don't want them to run. Well, two generally, you know, we don't want them to run deer and coyotes.
Yeah.
It's like, but I'll hunt mine on bobcat, coons, bears, whatever.
Take them to New Mexico for lions.
Yeah. Yep, we took our. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that is really cool to hear.
Yeah.
That's cool to hear. So we can't run big game in Arkansas, but we coon hunt.
Right.
And my dogs, all their litter mates and all the lineage of my plots are big game dogs.
Right.
So I feel like I've got a hand in the big game dog
world,
you know. But coon hunting for us, I've taken, I don't even want to say a number, because I mean, 50 plus, maybe 100 people that have never hunted coon hunting with us over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different introduction to people, because it's you know, I mean, it's not the classic, it's not the typical hunt that people think about. It's,
right.
It is a little different, but I've got a spiel that I tell everybody while we're driving to where we're going hunting. I don't care if it's an adult. I'm like, I've got a 2-part spiel that I'm going to give you. First of it's about plot hounds, and the second of it's about coon hunting. And I talk to them about striking, trailing, locating, treeing. Talk about, I mean, people don't know anything. They think your dog's out there looking for a coon.
Right.
Like,
literally looking.
Seeing a coon and chasing it.
Right.
And trying, you know, I'm like, no, they're trailing ground scent. And they're, you know, talk to them about a layup. Anyway, I have a pretty polished spiel that I give everybody. But I've never taken anyone coon hunting that had a bad experience.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's social. It's fun. It's exciting to be out in the woods at night. I mean, when I think about the number of people I've introduced to bow hunting whitetail deer, it's a very
small.
It's a very small number,
yep.
Because it's such a specific. I mean, they've got to be proficient with a weapon.
Right.
They've got to be able to store meat.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're not just going to kill a deer.
And those numbers will continue to decrease unless we do a better job at introducing people.
Yeah,
because it's not easy to introduce somebody to whitetail hunting.
Right.
it's not easy to introduce somebody to turkey hunting. Well, you can take them out.
Yeah.
And we've took several people out turkey hunting. But it's not as easy as taking them out, whether you're coon hunting. It'd be easy taking somebody out cat hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of these people, too, I mean, like, of the, all the people that have coon hunted with me, say, most of those people aren't going to be hunters. I mean, honestly, they're not probably going to be hunters, but some of them will be, but they at least have a frame of reference
right.
for the rest of their life. And a lot of these people are kids, and at some point, they're going to go hear something about hunters, and they go, yeah, I used to hunt with Mr. Clay and Shepherd. And, you know, he'll have a positive image inside of his worldview for hunting because he knew somebody. And, you know, I mean, there's benefit in, you know, we talk about recruitment and people sticking into hunting, which is what we want. You know, I mean, we want someone that goes hunting and becomes a hunter, kind of an autonomous hunter on their own, you know. But even if you take somebody hunting and they have a positive experience, that's a benefit for us too, because the people that are going to ultimately make decisions for us in hunting are the people who aren't hunters.
That's right.
But if they had, I mean, even these people, these kids go, you know, we took a bunch of people, a bunch of kids hunting around Christmas time. Well, they were talking about that at their Christmas, and maybe they were talking about that with their cousins who never knew about hunters. And, you know, just it's just a positive thing, like
right.
just kind of a buzz inside their world that we went coon hunting last week. Hunting? Yeah, it was great. It was fun. You know, yeah. That's a positive thing.
That's right.
Because those people all of a sudden are like, well, maybe hunters aren't barbaric. You know, the second tier people.
Right.
Yeah. So there's benefits inside of that stuff, even though we're probably not recruiting.
But I mean, everything directly. You said there, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that was you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Something I'd like to touch on. You were talking about you're getting to. You said like guys out west. And they kind of focus on, and this is changing subjects here, but they kind of focus on like just whitetail or something. And there's people like where we live that just focus on whitetail.
Yeah.
And I feel like they are, I was the same way. I mean, I was a you know, proud whitetail, you know, big buck hunter.
Yeah.
But I was missing out on so much different hunting styles when I got introduced to hound hunting. And I'm like, these guys are just white to hunt. And I'm like, listen, it's fun and all, guys, but you're missing out on a great hunting experience.
Yeah.
And I think if more people, I mean, we try to, like we said, we try to bring people hunting.
Yeah.
But if more people would try it, they'd be like, wow, and especially hunters, you know, they'd be like, wow, this is not what I thought it was. Like, this is fun.
Yeah.
Because you find a lot of, you know, just whitetail hunters, but also, you know, there's a lot of like just coon hunters and just bear hunters.
Yeah.
And like you see on our YouTube channel, we try to do it all. I mean, that's what.
I mean, I think we're pretty diversified. I mean, if you look on other people's YouTube channels, and there's a lot of great channels out there, but they're focused on whitetail and turkey or they're elk hunters.
Yeah.
And we want, with the Untamed, we kind of just want it to be we're not focused on anything. We're just focused on the outdoors and in our way of living. I mean, I feel like I've introduced Kirk to several things since we've been in business, in the outdoor, since we've had the Untamed, and it's been great because he's learned and got so much better at it than what we, you know, it's fun to watch Kirk grow as that outdoorsman, not as a hunter, as a woodsman you were talking about, and that's what we want to do. You know, I want my son to be a woodsman. I could care less if he knows how to hunt deer. I want him to know how to hunt everything.
When you said that, you know, you wanted to have a PhD in Arkansas hunting, that's the same way that I look at it too. I mean, I don't just nail down one thing. I love doing it. Like, I got traps setting out ready to go home. I'm gonna go set traps as soon as we get back.
Well, I think what you guys are doing, well, specifically with hound hunting, to go back to that, I mean, hound hunting is people just, media has stayed away from it on purpose. I mean, it's almost like in the last, if you think about when outdoor television really started kind of in the 90s, that indoctrinated people so strongly. And whitetails was where the money was. Whitetails were widely distributed. And nothing against whitetails. I love hunting them just as much as anything I hunt.
Absolutely.
And commit as much time to it. But it's like people, just like in everything, people, that's just what they focused on, and it was highly influenced by outdoor media. Also opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of pros to whitetail hunting, but what's happening now with platforms like YouTube, it's like you don't have, the content doesn't follow the money, if I could put it that way. You know, I mean, like there's never been, what I'm saying is that you're free to show who you are without the constraints of some big sponsor telling you what you need to do to get the views. But people like that authenticity, and you're showing people a whole bunch of new stuff inside of hunting that maybe they were never exposed to, that the mainstream media did not expose people to.
And I mean, I think that's one of the greatest things about, and it doesn't matter if you're on the YouTube platform. Now, we like the YouTube platform, but the commercialization of the outdoor industry, they've killed themselves.
It basically, you know, if you don't know what he's talking about, like just pushing product.
Yeah, people
killed this deer without this, that, and the other, you know.
Well, that's BS. I mean, Kobe could go out in what he's wearing right now and kill a deer if you put yourself in the right situation.
Yeah.
And we're never going to get in a position that we have to be told that we're doing stuff like that.
That's where I was going.
I would be miserable. I refuse.
You were talking about, you know, we don't have these sponsors telling us. Yeah, we have a couple of sponsors that we're working with right now, but we're very choosy.
And they understand your platform.
Absolutely.
They understand that you're
– Well, and if they don't understand, we don't deal with them because they've been great. They're very soft sales.
Yeah.
If you can show our product, show our stuff. If you can't, hey, we'll catch it next time. It's not like, hey, you're going to have to put us on there.
The hard part is staying that way. The hard part is staying that way.
Right, because money, you know, money talks, and money is what makes things.
And you see these, some of these bigger outdoor platforms, and it's hard to, when you get to a certain place.
Yeah, because
I'm always curious about that. It's like.
You have to, I mean, you do have to have money. You do have to have sponsors. That's how we're able to do it full time, you know.
Yeah.
But there's a happy medium there where you don't get too, I guess, money crazy and start doing things that you typically, you know, you don't want to get away from, you know, what we're doing now. We never want to get away from it. We always want to stay in check.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because as soon as we start, you know, pushing products and stuff down, you know, on people, then we're doing what, you know, has already happened on, you know, a lot of, not every show does it, but a lot of what you see on TV.
Yeah.
And we're just not interested in that. And people will comment on our videos saying, we love that you guys don't do that. I mean, they will come out and say it. Like, we enjoy watching the video where you didn't have to name 15 different products that you were using.
Yeah.
We just watched you use them.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you know, you have to have that. You have to – it's expensive doing what we do.
Yeah.
And it's been an investment for us, you know, over the past 2 years because, you know, we definitely ain't making
– No.
you know – We're not making any money right now.
Yeah.
Now, is there potential? Yeah. I hope that there's potential with what we're doing. I feel like what we're doing is good.
Do you ever think about YouTube putting the clamps on you in some way?
Oh, yeah. It scares me. Because
we've had a couple warnings.
Right.
Have you ever had a video flagged?
One time.
Is that all?
Only one. you can go look because, I mean.
Did you dispute it?
We did.
We did appeal it.
Did you win?
I have one too, actually. Yeah. So I take that back. I had one flag that stayed flagged. Now, sometimes, like I uploaded one and it flagged it immediately. And I was like, a robot caught that. Like no one's sitting on YouTube at their headquarters. Like they've messed up.
Yeah.
I've had a couple like that. We've disputed it in one.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think I have one video that they said, no, it was. And I disputed it, and they said
graphic violence.
Yeah, they said too intense. This is what they said.
Really?
And no, so it did. No, it did. But it's still a monetizable video. It is. When Kirk appealed it, which is great because they were going to just kill it.
Right.
And when Kirk appealed it, we got an age restriction.
But you can't. It's not monetizable.
That's what I was thinking. It's probably not monetizable.
It's 18 to watch.
Okay.
And of course, that wasn't.
I think YouTube, something has changed because before, it's probably before y'all were even doing stuff. When I first got on YouTube, my stuff was just getting hammered.
Really?
Flagged. Yeah, and I would have to dispute it, and some I would win, and some I would lose. One of my videos I honestly think would probably have been the highest viewed video that we have if they had not flagged it, and I lost the dispute, and it makes no sense why I lost the dispute. I mean, yeah. it was just a bear kill.
Yeah.
With a bow. I mean, there was nothing. I didn't even show skin in it or
right.
And that video at the time was gaining 50,000 views a day. I mean, it was just like and it got up to 250,000 views. It got flagged. I lost the dispute, and it's still on YouTube, but they shut it down. They don't promote it.
That's right.
And the video still has 600,000 views. So it got, 350,000 views just on. I think that video probably would have just marched up if it hadn't got shut down.
And that's crazy that YouTube, I mean, of course, it's their platform. They have the power just to say, oh, no more on that video.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you don't know who also is reviewing the videos. Like, I don't understand how the process works. Like, you might have Tom at YouTube reviewing your video.
Right.
But then
a lot of it is automated.
Yeah.
Now, when you dispute it, I think it actually goes to person.
Someone. Yeah. I think you're right on that.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a trick, I'll tell you, after this. I've got a trick if you're actually dealing with a person.
Oh, yeah?
I think it might work. But, Colby, what else would you like to talk to these guys about?
I think I would go back to the whole thing about sponsorship. I mean, because the thought I had is, like, you're not really looking for sponsors. You're looking for partners, someone that understands that they're partnering with you in something rather than just financing you to do something. I mean, at least that's what I see inside of the people.
That's a great way to put it.
That's
I don't even like using the word sponsor, pro staff. I hate those words.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that I've seen inside of the people that we work with is it's just people that or companies that are wanting to partner with us and they want us to just like use their products. And like Instagram and stuff, it's like, hey, we're using this, but
right.
But it's more like building a strong partnership and friendship with something that, it's like, hey, we're with you for the long haul, not just something that's like, well, we're just here, why it benefits us, you know? And I think that's one of the things even up here when we see it's like when we're coming here to ATA, we're going and we legitimately just want to see the people. We're not coming here to like the conversations we're having isn't like, well, what can we do to help you or what can we do to help you? It's just like, hey man, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I think building relationships has to like it, at least from our platform, it seems like that's something that I've seen that's valued more so than just like what the other person gets from the other. It's like, yeah, we're building together, but at the same time it's more so I just like you guys, and I like that we're forging something together that's for our mutual benefit,
Mm-hmm. Well, the advertising dollars create false relationship, really. I mean, like, really what people want to see is they want to know really what Steve Ranella would use if he wasn't being paid.
Correct.
Like that's what you really want to know.
Right.
And so, because anybody can, I mean, that's just the nature of the planet is money causes people to do stuff. So we're trying to create these. And to talk about Ranella, I think he's kind of done that in a lot of ways. He kind of helped build the soft sell into a wider market.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, he kind of did things back 8 or 9 years ago. But point being, that's what we're trying to do. It's just, and y'all are too. I've talked to you. I mean, you guys are only partner with people that you truly believe in using their stuff.
Yeah, and their customer service.
And if a company reaches out to us and we haven't used it before, we've never used that product, but we'll say, okay, send us some, we'll try it out. We're not just going to be like, yeah, send it to us, we'll sign this contract, and then pay us $10,000. We want to try this out, and if it's something that we're like, hey, this is legit, and we're comfortable, the people that watch our videos and really enjoy them, we're comfortable, telling them about this, then we'll go with that company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think on y'all's videos, one of the things I really like is it just looks like you guys are having fun, And I think that's something that produces a lot of buy-in on platforms like that is they want to see, that relationship and just having fun. And I think even, being able to show, the relationship between a person and his hound, those relationships are good to see, too. And I think there's a lot of mystery that's been created around those things because you just don't see it as much. I mean, I grew up you know, running coons and hogs with hounds, and so it's like I had a view inside of it. So it was like when I came around the magazine or Clay started putting stuff up, it's like I had a particular type of buy-in. Yeah. But like seeing big game hunting with like cats and bears, it's like that's a whole new thing for me, like whenever I came into it. But I understood the relationship between like we had hounds, and so I understood that relationship, and so it was like, man, this is really cool. I didn't know you could run them with hounds, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. It is so hidden in the outdoor world, and nobody wants, you know, people in the outdoor world don't want to talk about it because it's like a I don't want to say it's like the evil side of hunting, but it's like day and night. If you're a hound hunter, then you just looked at differently mm-hmm. in the outdoor industry, and that's what people. What we're trying to do is it doesn't, and Clay
you're
and I have
to
talked about this.
Your story.
We could care less if you hound hunt, if you bait hunt. We go on and on about it, and it will be the demise of the outdoor industry if we're not all together, mm-hmm. because there's so many non-hunter interest groups that we don't have to deal with in West Virginia. Those groups would be stupid to come into our borders, mm-hmm. But we could care less, and that's what the problem. You know, we don't look at, you know, Clay hunts over bait for mm-hmm. bears, and you hound hunt too.
Yeah.
Does that matter to me? Is it going to affect me? No, I'm for Clay doing that mm-hmm. because he's in the outdoors. He's promoting the outdoor industry. And
it's what Clay always refers to it as, is bear hunting is the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you said that last year.
You know, our – this is, we talk about this a lot, but we still haven't clarified it a ton, but I can clarify it in short. I think that bear hunting is actually one of the most important pieces of the whole of the hunting scene in North America. Point being that bears are the entry point for the anti-hunting sentiment and anti-hunting action, legislative action, everything, to come into the hunting space. So if you were just to monitor the wide sphere of the hunting world, it's not the deer, it's not elk, it's not pheasants, it's not ducks, it's bears.
Yeah.
And lions too, but more so bears.
And lions, yeah.
And it's
and so if you were 100 years out looking back at this little point in time, and you know that the strategy of anti-hunting organizations is incrementalism. They're not trying to knock it all down at once because they can't. Trying to chip off pieces. If you look at what they've done over the last 50 years in this country, they've chipped off pieces. You know, they chipped off bear hunting in these states. They chipped off lion hunting. They chipped off, you know, certain things. So the most important thing at any given time in history in terms of preserving our way of life is that you guard that low-hanging fruit. Because if you guard that low-hanging fruit, they can't get to the thing behind it.
Yeah.
And so that's our hashtag we're using, guard the gate.
Right.
So we're saying bear hunting is the gate. So there's a lot of resource and time in the outdoor industry being invested in a lot of different places, which a lot of that stuff is really good. What I'm saying is that we need the broader support of the outdoor community that is targeted towards the preservation of bear hunting. Because we got nothing left to give the anti-hunting community in 2020. I mean, All the chafe has been blown off by the wind. I mean, like, what we have in North America right now with our bear hunting with hounds in 17 states and our, you know, lion hunting in different places, I mean, it has been whittled down to the foundations.
Yep.
And so my whole thing is, if you're an elk hunter, if you're a deer hunter, if you're this kind of hunter,
you better be on board with helping.
You better be on board with those guys because – and now this – 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I might have said this was like fear-mongering or something, but it's not. Man, the last 7 years, we have been on the forefront through Bear Hunting Magazine, being the only bear hunting magazine in the world. I mean, like, we have a unique perspective on the anti-hunting sentiment against bear hunting just because of where we're placed. And, I mean, they are on track to knock us off the map in the next 20 years. I mean, that's what they think. If they did that, they absolutely would be taking another step up the ladder.
Right.
Which they'd be saying, You use elk decoys to you use those little puff up decoys that have elk ears on it and look like a cow elk and blow cow calls when you're elk hunting? Really, that sounds unfair to me.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair.
Yeah.
I think we're going to take away all elk calling.
Yep.
Just spot and stalk elk hunting, that's all you can do. I mean, that would take the knees out of elk hunting.
Right.
I mean, you know, that sounds like, again, 5 years ago I said that was just, it would be like conspiracy theory or something, but it's not. I mean, North American hunting will be vastly different in 25 years, 50 years, 10 years if we don't do something. And I feel like that the bear hunting piece is really critical. I do.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean.
And it's not, nobody's saying that. I mean, it's like that, but it's a broad picture and it's a long picture. And people have a real hard time looking at the long-term picture and the big, broad picture.
Yeah.
Because people, yeah, I mean, we're kind of like the redheaded stepchild of the outdoors.
That's right.
Industry.
I mean, you're in the outdoors, you're kind of black-eyed. And
because, I mean, it's hard because you also have fellow hunters that hunt other animals that don't support you.
Yeah.
You know? And that unity, that's what we try to do with our YouTube channel. I mean, because of how diverse we are with, you know, we put out a bunch of whitetail videos. We put out a bunch of bear videos. Well, we have people that love our whitetail videos. They'll comment like,
yeah,
oh, I don't like your bear videos, but I love your whitetail stuff. I don't think it's fair that you use dogs on bears, you know.
Yeah.
So we're hopefully, you know, showing, you know, those people that typically wouldn't watch a bear video, but because now we're popping up on their phone that, hey, you know, we like these guys. What they're doing is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, so we're hoping.
So they'll see validity in it.
Yeah, through our YouTube channel that we're kind of merging two worlds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what do you guys tell people about hound hunting, like the benefits of it? Because I know I've heard, like, Clay talk about it a lot at the office. I'm just curious, like, whenever people say that to you, like, what do you say about hound hunting? Like, its benefits and like its purpose.
Well, a lot of what I've learned from it is actually listening to Clay. I mean, you can when you have a bear treat, it's catch and release hunting.
Yeah,
I mean, you can decide right there, you know, is that a boar? Is that a sow? How big is it? Does it need to be taken out? You can make all those decisions right there at the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's when we shoot a bear out of a tree, 99.9% of the time, the bear is dead before it hits the ground. So, mm-hmm. like, when we shoot, you know, someone might shoot one with a bow, which, of course, I have no issue with. They'll shoot one. You don't know exactly where you're going to hit it. You know, with mm-hmm. a gun, you don't always find them. The bears that we run, you know, most of the time we're catching, and then we make a, you know, we can make a clean, good decision, ethical decision, mm-hmm. should we kill that bear.
Right.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
If we're actually talking about the ethics of being humane to an animal.
Yeah.
It would be hard to stand in a court of law with an unbiased judge and not say that
it's actually the most ethical.
That when you're talking about the death of that animal,
yeah.
It is because the animal's in a tree. You're able to make a good shot. You're able to make a decision about the sex, age, whatever categories that you have, if you have any. You know, you're able to make that decision.
All right.
And you know, an old hound hunter in the Appalachian Mountains told me this. In response to somebody saying that running bears with hounds was cruel, like actually cruel to the animal while it was being ran.
Yeah.
And he said, the guy said to me, he said, Clay, he said, there are critters being killed on that mountain right now as we speak, being chased down by coyotes, being caught by raptors, being, you know, hawks, being, I mean, like this idea that, you know,
that it's
hounds
new.
Chasing a bear is something unnatural, something
right.
new. I mean, Mother Nature had a much more cruel death planned for that animal.
Yep.
That's what I always say.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you see kill a bear with a shotgun after it's been chased for an hour and a half by hounds. Mother Nature had a much more cruel death planned for that critter.
No doubt.
Whether he died of starvation at old age, whether he got killed by a rival male, whether he starved out in the den one winter after a low mast crop and no beech nuts. I mean, it's like, man, nature is cruel.
And, you know, like the antis, they don't want to hear that side of it. You know, they want to ignore that part of it. They don't want us being the ones that, you know, take that big mature boar out of the herd.
Yeah.
They would rather it's out of sight, out of mind. So they really don't have to worry about what actually goes on.
Yeah.
And so they
yeah.
they typically ignore everything you just said.
You asked Kirk a question. I just couldn't help myself. I had to just jump in there and answer it for him.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Kirk.
No, you did. Once again, I agree.
I feel like one of the things that there's a disconnect in is just like inside of life, it's like a lot of people just don't understand struggle or like the way things actually work, you know. It's like just the yeah. way that kids are raised and stuff. It's like things are so easy and so disconnected that you just lose that sense that there's things that you have to struggle for or there's things that are just hard. And, you know, and it's like thinking about, you know, dogs chasing a bear and the way Mother Nature is. I think that there's a lot of people that are just like, they're just disconnected by the way
that... False perception yeah. of nature.
Yeah, false perception of nature.
And I think that we add a human element to that is valuable for people to help them understand. I mean, like, you guys' YouTube channel, people seeing you guys being real and liking you. I mean, the first time I watched you, I just liked you. I mean, and that's highly valuable. I mean, like an anti-hunter that was just adamantly opposed to running bear, I figure that 75% of them, if they came to my house and had dinner with me and my family and sat around, and I mean, and I knew they were anti-hunter and they knew I was a bear hunter, they would walk away with maybe not a totally changed mind.
Right.
But they would have respect for me.
Absolutely.
I feel like they would. I mean, and so anyway, the whole idea of a face with a person, and that's kind of what following a channel on YouTube does, is you kind of feel like you know somebody. So I think there's some benefit inside of that people probably, there's a human involved with it. It's not just a barbarian. It's, well, some people might think Josh is a barbarian, but yeah. I'm giving you a hard time, Josh. I hope you know. I hope you know.
I stay on him, so he's used to it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the greatest thing about the channel and YouTube is that when you came up to us last year, we were sitting at our table, and you yeah. just came up and said, "Hey, Josh, what's going on?" And I yeah. was like, "Hey, it's Clay."
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
We'd never even met. But we'd yeah. seen each other on YouTube.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So that's that's one thing I do like, and I think that's one thing we try is connecting personally with our audience.
Yeah,
through the video.
And Lane and I were at a Giovanni's Pizza in Logan, and I had put a video up that the night before. Where Josh and I were bear hunting, and I forgot my radio, and I walked down to the dogs. Well, the bear came out of the tree, and I was down there by myself. He couldn't track me, didn't know where I was. I couldn't talk to him, didn't know where he was. We just knew that the bear was going to end up somewhere. But the point is, I forgot my radio. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking, and we made it in the video, like we talked about it.
Right,
like,
yeah, you know, yeah.
Because
it was a cluster.
Yeah, it was a cluster. That's kind of like who I am, though. Like I do stuff like that all the time. You know, I'm kind of
true, Josh.
Absolutely.
My messy, unorganized.
No radio, no gun, GPS, no knife.
No knife.
He is scattered and gone. All he is I'm getting to the dogs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I'm getting at is...
back to it.
Yeah, getting back to it. So I had forgotten my radio. So I'm walking out of Giovanni's, and a guy says, "Hey, Kirk." He was like, I look at him like, I didn't know who he was. He said, "Don't forget your radio."
Don't forget your radio.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And that's the number one rule of bear hunting. Do not leave the truck without a radio.
And I've done better. We got those chest harnesses that we've gotten probably 60,000 messages on. What kind of chest harnesses do y'all have? Where do you get those? that's our most asked question.
It is our most asked question.
You would not believe.
Well, what's the answer?
Kintera.
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 Non-affiliated.
No.
I haven't heard of them.
They probably don't know who we are. But yeah. I guarantee if they go back and they look at sales from 2018 to 2020.
They had to have had a spike.
That I guarantee you that their chest pouches... The ones that we wear, they've had to produce God knows how many. And
really?
It's Kintera. They're paramedic and smoke jumpers.
Oh, okay.
That's what they wear.
Yeah.
The firefighters.
But I'm like,
it's a safety pouch.
I want to be like, just Google chest harness radio.
Yeah.
and you'll find up. It, yeah.
But that's one of our biggest questions.
And I've probably copied and pasted a link to Amazon to that. I can't even tell you how many times. It should be.
And the thing about it is Kirk still to this day would not have one if he did not cabbage on to mine. I had to buy a new one. Kirk is like a pirate. He participates in a lot of piracy.
I believe it.
Chest harness, SD cards. Don't leave any SD cards, Kobe, around this man.
Uh-huh. He'll take them.
It's like the guy off of X-Men. He with the SD cards in metal. He does it with
Magneto.
Magneto. He's like SD-do with the SD cards.
SD-do.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You sound Hispanic. SD-do.
SD-do. SD-do.
But no, it works. What we do works for us, and
yeah.
I don't. I mean. I'll take the opportunity to give Kirk a lot of attaboys because, I mean, I'm not any technical guy. Most people probably know that on our channel that listen to us and watch us. Now, I'm learning.
Yeah.
Slowly.
He's learned how to turn the camera on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get it in focus, maybe.
But Kirk has done a superb job at the editing, producing, and everything on that end. But it's working for us, and that's what matters, and we're having fun. I mean, do we get pissed at each other? Absolutely, we do.
I mean, when you spend that much time with somebody, if you don't have disagreements, then you're probably not real with each other.
I mean, do we get aggravated with Lane and you know Lane?
Probably with Lane a lot.
Well, I mean, he gets brought in.
I don't even know Lane.
Well, he gets brought
Lane's
into
back
a,
here without a microphone, so he can't defend himself.
Yeah, he can't defend himself, and that's why I'm going to say, you know. But, you know, he gets brought into a group he's never been around. He doesn't know our hunting habits. You know, it gets intense.
Yeah. I can imagine.
But, you know, we have a good time, and that's what – you know, that's a main.
We wake up, you know, like, for instance, I'm full-time doing this. I wake up every day. I mean, my stresses in life are, man, I got to get that video edited of a hunt.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can get it done, and I can go out and hunt and video it. And I wake up every day with a smile on my face, you know, because I absolutely love what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. So. Well, hey, guys, any closing thoughts, anything you wanted to say that you didn't get to say?
Oh, man, there's a lot of stuff I wasn't able to say. I'm just kidding.
I need to close the podcast in my Josh voice.
Yeah, you should.
Wow, Blake. I can't do it. I lost it.
You should.
Oh, I wish you'd have been there, Josh. It was awesome.
It was fantastic.
I'd have loved to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you all for, you know, having us. And hopefully your audience like listening to us. And I'm sure we have a lot. It'll be a lot of crossover.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
It'll be cool that they got to hear us all together, you know, in one place.
And I appreciate the support, you know, since we've had our channel.
Yeah.
Clay and I have talked a lot on the phone, and I know that we don't have to endure what a lot of the other people in hound hunting states endure. We understand that, but and we never want to hurt anybody in the other states in what we do, but we do want to show people what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've had those discussions, but just thank you all for supporting us and our channel and what we do.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're fans. So check out the Untamed YouTube channel. And I guess this is going on your podcast too, so people can check out Bear Hunt Magazine.
Absolutely.
YouTube channel.
Check out
Bear Hunt Magazine. Some of our people may not even, we don't talk about the YouTube channel a ton. But hey, thanks, guys.
Thank
awesome.
You.
Thank you all.
Keep the wild places wild because that's where the bears live.
You should do it in Josh's voice.
The wild place is wild because that's where the bears live, Kirk.
And I think Josh needs to say it now. We need to hear it like the real thing.
Say it full throttle. So it's keep the wild places wild because that's where the bears live. Say it like full throttle, Josh.
Like you just
full
got
throttle,
that jerky.
Josh.
It's keep the wild places wild
because that's where the bears live.
I'm going to take my headphones off.
We might even use this.
Well,
give me a fist pump. No. I mean, I'm saying
like yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Tone.
Yeah.
Keep the wild place. Hell, I don't even know what I was supposed to say.
Keep the wild places wild because that's where the bears live.
Can you write that down?
Text it
keep
to
the
me.
Wild place.
Keep the wild places wild because that's where the bears live.
There we go.
Money. Yeah. Money.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. I can't do it.
I enjoyed it, guys. Thanks.
Thanks.